Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2017. It is Sunday. Actually, it is Saturday. I lost a day there. It's easy to do during training camp. Saturday, August the 5th, and Alex Cazor is fresh back from Latrobe, where he was at St. Vincent College again to attend the Steelers daily training camp practice out there. Alex, happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday, Dave. I barely know it's August, so don't worry about Saturday and Sunday mix-up camp. It's just, I lose track of everything.
Yeah, these days really start running together here, especially after Friday night lights practice there, and then you have to sleep fast, and that's why we obviously, Alex got home late because of the weather and all. That's why there was no podcast last night. We're going to wrap up 2 days today. There will be no wrap-up podcast Sunday night because they're going to be practicing at Heinz Field late, so we'll be doing a double show sometime Monday, as well. Monday, of course, is the Steelers' next day off there. So let's get right to what happened during the Friday night light session. Unfortunately, rain interrupted that with some lightning and bad weather and all. You had to leave, go to the parking lot for a while, come back, and really, not that, the practice was obviously missing a lot of star players being held out, given days off and all, probably a good thing with the field being wet or whatnot. But why don't we go over the highlights from Friday Night Lights practice?
Yeah, I thought there were a couple, notables, and, it's a little difficult to gauge because there were so many guys missing from Friday Night Lights, a lot of guys getting, days off, Roethlisberger not there, a couple of the offensive linemen, Gilbert and Pouncey got a day of rest. So lines were short with the interruption, with the rain, it kind of made things a little hectic and chaotic. It was funny. There were only two quarterbacks healthy for Friday Night Lights. It was Josh Dobbs, Bart Houston. Dobbs were the ones and Houston with the twos and the threes. I think Dobbs continues to do well. The first play was actually one of the plays of the day. Maybe actually, honestly, one of the best plays Josh Dobbs has made the entire camp. It's the first play of the team session after seven shots, and it's a play action. Dobbs rolls to his left, and because the field was slippery and muddy with all the rain that had rolled through, Dobbs slips and falls, but he has the football IQ and the intuition to get right back up. It's not college rules. He's not down by contact, and turns what would have been a five-yard loss into maybe a 10-yard gain, hitting Jesse James in the left flat. So I thought that one play, while it was just one play, kind of encapsulates what Dobbs has done this entire camp, of being a smart guy that showed improvement and the ability to kind of think on his feet, and I guess at that point think on the ground. So that was a really nice play. Juju Smith-Schuster probably had the catch. He definitely had the catch of the practice. It was a pass, I think, from Dobbs to Schuster that got tipped by Golden, and Smith-Schuster was able to adjust to it and make a ridiculous, like almost one-handed grab on his face mask going to the ground. So Rosie Nix did well in backs on backers. Tyson Alualu continues to dominate, going against the second team line after facing first team line the past couple days before that. He made it look a whole lot easier. He's really giving Kevon Milton all that he can. So definitely some ups and downs across the board for that Friday night practice. We'll have the full report. Maybe we can link it in the podcast description. But, it was still a really good day of work.
The backs on backers with Watt, go over some of the notable things that happened in that drill.
I'd have to kind of go back through my notes. He beat Odom a couple times, once with a swim, once with a forklift bull rush. And I think it was Jeremy Fowler of ESPN that tweeted it out, because he was down there and heard James Harrison getting after Watt to be more physical and play with more power and less finesse. And I really tend to agree with that, where you see Watt, especially against a guy like Villanueva, Watt tries to run the arc every single time, and it just really doesn't work against a guy that's so tough to get around like Alejandro Villanueva. I think the best way to try to beat a guy like him is with some sort of speed to power, or at least power first and counter off of that. Villanueva actually lost one rep against Hayward in the O-line, D-line drill, and Hayward did a push-pull, which is a bull rush, and you kind of grab the guy, pull him forward, then he ripped back under him to beat him. So you look at some power moves and getting into Villanueva's chest as opposed to trying to get around him. That's kind of the best way to get after it. But to, you know, fast forward to today real briefly, Dave, after practice, Watt was working with Dupree and James Harrison on, you know, cornering at the top of the arc and being able to flatten and not get run upfield like Watt's done. So I think they recognize that, one, Watt has to play with a little bit more physicality, and two, just has to be better at being able to turn the corner and not lose your balance at the top of the arc. And I think Watt's taking good strides to try to fix that.
Boy, if there's one man he can learn a rip move from, it's James Harrison, right?
Ain't that the truth? But it's hard to be 6 foot. I only talk and shrink like that.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that the one thing that goes in James Harrison's favor is that small stature of him lets him get that arm up under. And boy, once he does, I mean, it's Katie barred the door at that point. I mean, plus for a guy, even at his age right now, the ankle flexibility and the ability to turn the corner. It's not unusual with Watt, especially being as how he's a 1 year, really a one-year starter at Wisconsin. He's going to have to develop a larger array of pass rush moves, and that's really something we didn't see a lot of at Wisconsin. We saw a lot of high effort. We saw a lot of, muscle at times, a lot of athletic ability with some twist inside, but not a full complement of moves.
Agreed. And there's a train going through, so I'll let you go through your next question.
all right. Anything else stick out the defensive side of the ball? And I guess it'd be a perfect time right now to announce that Artie Burns had to leave. You know, people should know by now that he had to leave that practice, I guess, I don't know, half, two-thirds way through with, I guess, an apparent groin or leg injury. I don't really think we know the exact injury just yet. So, you know, to bring everybody up to speed there, highlight some of the things that happened. Cody Sensabaugh is obviously the first guy off the bench to replace him on the outside there. But what else happened defensively Friday Night Lights?
Yeah, two quick notes defensively. I thought it was Daniel McCullough's best practice. I know we've been pretty critical of him. I thought I saw a little bit of fire intensity that I hadn't seen what would be the first six practices from him. There was one rep, O-line, D-line, one-on-one, where he just completely ran over and ran through Mike Matthews, and Matthews ended up on the ground. Now, we have seen that before from McCullough's in past years, but it's a nice reminder of when McCullough puts it all together and plays with technique, power, and some drive, that he can be a really dominant guy in a phone booth. So that was nice to see. I think he had another pressure that I think maybe resulted in an interception and in teamwork as well. And then Brian Allen, another guy that has had his struggles, which I'm sure is no surprise to you or I or anyone listening, Dave. But he had a nice breakup in the left corner of the end zone. It was, I think, Dobbs and a speed out to Eli Rogers in the end zone. And Allen got his head around in time and used that length of his to play the pocket and break the ball up. The only downside to that play was over the PA announcer, Bill Hillgrove, who I love for the record, but Hillgrove said, "Shamarco Thomas with the breakup," and had to correct himself. So even in Brian Allen's shining moment, he still gets called the wrong guy.
And look, those are two, you want to talk about size, statue types of guys. Those guys couldn't be much different there. Somebody gave him an old flip card, didn't they?
I guess so.
With that. So the way I take it is that, I hate to use, it's going to be a bad pun here, but kind of a really watered down practice, huh? Not eventful, you know.
There were still moments of it being physical, but yeah, at least in terms of the intensity from the crowd, I think maybe a third of the crowd ended up showing up after the quote unquote rain delay. I mean, there was still stuff to learn from. I think Tomlin said, well, it was still good work. It's good to deal with the unexpected and how guys respond to that. So there's still things to learn. But it kind of put a damper on things, absolutely.
Was there one offensive lineman, being as how those, hooray for them, second team guys get to go up against, in third team, some third team guys, I take it, they get to go up against some a higher level of competition. And Tomlin talked about that after practice was over. Were there any of them that stood out? That maybe a guy like Ethan Cooper, or how did B.J. Finney do, and anybody stick out is what I'm saying, who may have jumped up a level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the guys that jumped up are guys we kind of already know. Finney replaced Pouncey at center. Hubbard replaced Gilbert at right tackle. So nothing, you know, shocking there. You know, Finney's had some problems, you know, with that first step getting run into the backfield. Hayward's done it to him a couple times. I think Alualu as well has had some wins against Finney. You know, I'm not concerned at all, but, you know, Finney, you know, he's had, I think, a good start. He's had a couple rougher practices when he plays with the ones and obviously faces, you know, better talent. One guy I do want to mention, and I'm glad you brought it up, Dave, is just Matt Filer. I feel like, you know, Filer's a guy that we forget about when we talk about practice squad guys or guys that might have some sort of chance to be that ninth offensive lineman. We talk about Cooper a lot. We talk about Brian Mahalik a lot because they have some sort of flash. Cooper looks like a fire hydrant. Mahalik looks like a house. Filer's kind of in between, but he's a big dude, 330, was with the team last year, can play guard or tackle. I'm pretty confident at this point that Filer's going to make the practice squad because he has the versatility. I think he has good play strength and anchor and a little bit of athleticism as well that I think makes him attractive fit again on the Steelers practice squad.
Well, if he makes a practice squad, I mean, is it at Cooper's expense? I mean,
well, they're only going to keep
you're going to keep a guard. Yeah. You're going to keep a guard and a tackle, right?
Mm-hmm. You're right. I can't see three being kept. Two is usually the number, so you're going to pick two of Mahalik, Cooper, and Filer. So one of those guys is expense, sure.
And you know, Mahalik's, well, it's definitely going to be interesting. And look, we've talked up Cooper a lot, you know, during the offseason. He was a high priority, you know, undrafted free agent of theirs. But definitely a guy I'm looking forward to see play in the preseason. Obviously, we haven't seen any other guys, you know, move inside or anything like that. You know, Hubbard's still playing tackle. Hawkins still playing tackle. Right. You know, no other surprises mm-hmm. in the line rotations.
Yeah, I mean, nothing, you know, occasional guys moving, flipping sides, playing left guard, right guard. We've seen Mike Matthews get center work and guard work, same with Kyle Friend. I did see Ethan Cooper today get one snap at center in warmups, not in team. But, of course, the more Cooper could do, the better for his chances. And the last thing on Cooper, well, I like his body type. And we've seen the occasional flash from him. It's not like he's been a star at camp and the guy just dominating. He's been third team and, you know, not been bad. But it's not like he's wowing anybody and saying, why, you got to keep this guy.
And Tyler Matakavich on the defensive side of the ball just keeps putting together nice practices, right?
Absolutely. I don't think he's had a bad practice yet. And it's just his ability to read and react, making up for that lack of athleticism that he has. You know, fast forward to today, I forget the context, you know, Matakavich was again in there on a screen and blew it up. So, I mean, the guy just, you know, does that on a regular basis. And said it before, say it again, Matakavich is going to be a top backup and a guy the Steelers are going to have a ton of confidence in.
All right, because it's always easier to remember the latest thing that's happened. Let's jump ahead to what happened Saturday at St. Vincent College there. Why don't you go over the long list of players who did not practice today to start with?
Oh, man, Dave, how much time do you have? I'll try to go through it quickly. Real quick, guys. Well, okay, guys that didn't practice today. Mike Mitchell, again with the leg. Cam Sutton, which I think you told me was a hamstring, correct, Dave?
Yeah, Kevin Colbert said that last night on Sirius.
Okay. Yeah, that serious stuff is really good stuff. That blows ESPN out the water. Greg Ducray, he had pads on. He was carrying his shoulder pads around. He didn't do anything in team. I don't think he did anything individual. I'm assuming he's close, but they did bring in a new corner today, Corey Shepard, so they got to really help shore up the numbers. Burns, like you said, with that left leg groin, I expect him to still be out for a couple of days at minimum. Golson, still no. Connor, he's going through full speed stuff and routes. I think they just want to be cautious with that shoulder. He's going to be back, I think, next couple of days, and he's fine. Basically, they just want to be smart about it. Landry Jones still out, but Dupree, I don't know what's up with Dupree. I think it's a lower body issue. No one asks what's wrong with Dupree. You think people would want to know. Shazier with the hamstring. Mike Matthews today out. I think a right leg. I have to remember. I have a note on my notes, but I think he had a wrap on his right lower leg. Keelan Adams, I believe, with a left shoulder injury. Ramon Foster with rest. Sammy Coates looked more aggressive in 10-yard sprints today. He's getting close. And Farrington Huguenin got hurt today during practice. Maybe a concussion there. We'll see where he's at tomorrow.
Yeah, and we're moving forward. These roster moves now are going to start to pick up as some of these lines get shorter. You obviously, that you know, if you, with such a long list of players, if you make it one next day without a move, that's usually a good sign for the previous injury,
right.
You know, because especially when it comes to guys, you know, obvious locks or guys, you know, just inside or outside the bubble and all. That's tough news about Farrington. Hopefully it's not serious, but I think as you wrote on Twitter there, with him and Adams, if both those guys are ailing and Bud Dupree, we might have another edge rusher. And, boy, it's too bad the kid, what was his name? Kid, I like the undrafted free agent. Just saw him sign with somebody just recently here. I'm drawing.
You remember the school he went to? Do you remember anything about him?
Jason DeMonch. remember Jason DeMonch out of Southern Illinois?
I trust the
edge rusher. He's already had a pretty good cup of coffee with the Bengals and all, But I really liked his film coming out a couple of years ago. He was a free agent up until just signing with the San Francisco 49ers today. So he found him another job. So that would have been a guy that had been interesting to bring into camp as an edge rusher. But yeah, we'll have to see now. You know, with these shorter lines, they obviously filled a shorter line at cornerback today, and you know, with the signing of Ja'Cory Shepherd, and we'll talk a little bit more about him in depth here in a little bit, but we'll see what happens with the edge rushers here. You know, overall thoughts of what you observed, and really, you know, top to bottom, there's no sense going position groups right now, being as how we're cramming so much in this podcast, but things that, you know, kind of stuck out to you today, Alex.
I could go in a lot of different directions with this. I thought, you know, Eli Rogers continues to be solid, just a smooth, easy route runner. You know, I think he's not – his spot's locked up, his roster spot is. But, you know, I think he's obviously got a clear leg up on Juju in the slot. But Juju's been impressive as well. His body control, ability to find the football, get his head around that read and react, hand-eye coordination is really strong. He doesn't try to be too cute, you know, too difficult with one-handed grabs and, you know, these leaping, you know, catches that come off the ground. He catches it clean. He's quick to duck. He gets upfield. So, again, just the level of maturity and how advanced this game is for a guy that turns 21 in November, I think is really special and really unique. Gerald Hawkins has been better, I thought. Tyson Alualu is just killing Kevon Milton, you know, repeatedly, whether it's in one-on-ones or in team session, the latter of that happened today. TJ Watt's, you know, been better. You know, Tomlin challenged Watt in a one-on-one drill, kind of an angle pursuit drill with Trey Williams, and I thought he responded to that well. Chickalo's doing well as usual. I like what Brandon Dixon does in coverage. Sensabaugh continues to do well in running with the ones with Burns out. One guy that's struggling some, Brandon Brown Dukes. You know, I thought he'd have a better camp, you know, being this second time around for him, you know, on and off the team last year. Couple of drops today, had a fumble in one-on-one. Chickalo forced it. Struggles in pass pro, which is no surprise. He's a smaller guy, but not really breaking much off as a runner. I think Trey Williams and Watson and those guys are all better than Brandon Brown Dukes.
And we're going to see, unfortunately, a lot of them back in guys, you know, in that first preseason game as well, you know, along with, you know, some second and third string offensive linemen as well. Where do you want to go now? I mean, you want to talk about any of the secondary with Burns out or one-on-one drills or?
Yeah, I know we're kind of haphazard here, trying to cram everything. Let me tell you one thing, and then I'm going to throw a question to you, Dave, and maybe give us some information. But, you know, Brian Allen, who I said has had kind of a rough start to camp, I think one thing he does well, I tweeted this out, so I'm sure people saw it earlier, but I think his run fits are strong. Is, you know, that force defender against the run, not crashing down, setting the edge, and kicking the running back inside to your help. He did that twice today. I thought that was impressive. You know, we remember Artie Burns last year against Miami in that cracker plays and stuff like that, where he could not keep a lid on things. I think in that respect, from what Allen has shown in practice so far, has been really good. So I've liked that, even though his coverage and his technique needs some work. As you mentioned earlier, Dave, Ja'Cory Shepherd signed today. I'm sure you researched him a little bit. Can you tell us about Ja'Cory Shepherd?
Yeah, I mean, this is a former 6th-round draft pick of the Philadelphia Eagles from back in 2015. I actually remember watching a little bit of film on him. I had to do some Googling to try to refresh my memory on some of his history and why he went where he went in the draft that year in the sixth round. If you remember back to his pro day that year, he had a hamstring injury that everybody was prodding him, saying, you got to run. And he shouldn't have. And he posted like a 4.62, 4.65. And then I think he went down to the Senior Bowl 2000. That would have been 2015, right?
15.
Were you down there then? You've only been to...
No, 16 was my first year.
Okay, and it seemed like he did something there in one of the practices that I think also ended up hurting his draft stock as well, too. I think he only got in something like one full practice down there that year and all, and he looked good when he was on the field there, but I just remember something about him tweaking something, maybe his hamstring or something like that. Well, anyway, he ended up going to the sixth round, and they had a lot of high hopes with him in Philadelphia. You know, kind of a, he's obviously not super lengthy, but what, 5'11", 199, 200 pounds, something like that. The thing that always got me when going back and looking at his stuff is a lot of pass breakups there. I think 4 or 5 interceptions. He was only a 2-year defensive player at Kansas because he had switched over from the offensive side of the ball because he started as a wide receiver with him. But he is what you and I probably like to call a classic mirror press corner. Okay. And, I think he can play some off, and I think there was even some tape of him in some drills doing okay in off coverage, but I think his bread and butter is man and mirror at that. Of course, the difference between mirror is, you don't really get your hands on the guy. You just you wait till he makes his final move, and it's basically a run. You're running, staying in phase with him off the line. But fluid, I think, in the back pedal and all. Why he hasn't stuck around is his knee still ailing? He tore his knee up during that I think that first preseason with the Eagles. They put him on IR. He was eventually cut prior to the 2016 season. He did, however, land on their practice squad. He then went, the San Francisco 49ers signed him and basically primarily used him as a kick returner and, did okay in that area. He obviously returned 60-something kicks at Kansas and, not someone like the stat sheet up in that area, but he can definitely do the job there. But it's no wonder because of him, being a mirror press guy more than anything else, because of him already having a little bit of taste of the NFL that, the Steelers brought him in. Now, obviously, those guys ahead of him in the depth chart, several of them injured right now. The longer those guys stay injured, it helps his chances. But even so, it's going to be a momentous a battle for him to try to make the 53-man roster at this point here. But as you brought up a good point, I think right before that Friday Night Lights practice is Kobe Hamilton. That was his first practice, a year ago. And yeah, he didn't make the initial 53-man roster, but he did make the practice squad, and injuries dictated that he ended up on the 53. I guess in short, that was a long way to give you this podcast is supposed to be more about you, not me.
Please talk.
The thing I think with him, probably best case scenario, is I don't know. Maybe we're looking at a practice squad cornerback possibly here.
Yeah, you got thrown into team drills right away, playing right corner, third team. Now guys are going to get healthy. I don't expect Sutton, Burns, and Golson to be out forever, but he'll take advantage of the chance that he has today.
Do you remember much about his tape in college?
I don't. The name immediately rung a bell, and I was able to remember some of the basic facts. Eagles draft pick, Kansas kid, return ability, but I don't remember exactly how good he was. And I just go into this stuff with a clean blank slate anyway.
Yeah, and look, you know, we could sing this, you know, we could tell you everything, and we know about this guy, all positives and no negatives, and 3 days later he could be out of town again.
Right. Let me ask you real quick, Dave. I know you and David Todd talked about it, but if you had to pick a sixth corner today, because we're almost positive they're going to keep six, who is your sixth man onto the 53?
Yeah, I don't have the list in front of me, but I'm assuming that Mike Hilton's in the running for that, right? Because we got Burns, we got Cockrell, mm-hmm. we got Gay, we got Sensabaugh, we got Sutton. And
so yeah, you're basically down to three guys for one spot: Brian Allen, Mike Hilton, and Senquist Goldson.
Yeah,
you gotta pick one.
I would have to go with Hilton just on your reporting and your reporting alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's interesting.
And that's yeah. all. That's all yeah. I got. You know.
Right. Sure. Yeah, it's a good battle between, you know, Hilton again making plays. They had another breakup. He's going to do well in special teams. I also think Brian Allen's going to do well in special teams. And, you know, Golson, we'll see. So I would probably go Hilton today as well. But, you know, obviously we got a ways to go to figure this out.
Yeah, and look, I mean, special teams is going to be we can laugh about and joke about it all we want sometimes, but it's going to be a huge part in this, you know, in this decision-making process for the Steelers when it comes to the bottom end of that cornerback depth chart, because obviously we don't think there's going to be five safeties on this roster, right? At least not where we sit now. And we expect them to keep at least 10 cornerback or 10 defensive backs. I think it would be surprising if they kept 11, and that would mean seven corners. I mean, heck, somebody's got to be on the inactive list. But, you know, I'm very, very – I mean, you really got me psyched. And, yeah, really, you had me psyched about Mike Hilton before – training camp even got underway. You know, your previous college breakdown report even prior to that draft, going back and rereading that again, and then, you know, possible camp breakout player article that you had several weeks ago as well too. And this is a guy that really I don't know much about other than his college tape, and I'm looking forward to watching him during the preseason there. So and go ahead and add you know, Ja'Cory Shepherd to that. I think we're going to see him by default now because, I mean, we don't know what's going on with Artie Burns right now. Hopefully it's not serious. Mike Tomlin still not really – Mike Tomlin's not telling us something. I just don't know what it is. You know, he says Burns' spirits are good. Why would you say someone's spirits are good when talking about maybe a minor hamstring injury? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what happens with him. Mike Tomlin insinuated that he's going to be out probably some more days here, so you would think that there's possibly now a chance that Artie Burns is not going to play in that first preseason game. No way Sutton and Golson are playing in that game, right? So who are going to be our who are going to be our corners in that game? You're not going to play William Gabe but a handful of snaps.
Sure. Cockrell might get a quarter at max, so you're going to be left with Ducray, assuming he's able to go. He's been missing time as well. Brandon Dixon will get a lot of burn. Hilton. Sensible, I guess. You got to play somebody. They could be thin there. So Shepherd was kind of a necessary signing.
You're going to run four corners out there for most of the game with just, you got some safeties you can play with there behind. You know, obviously, we're not going to see Mike Mitchell. I doubt we see much of Sean Davis. We'll see some Robert Golden and Jordan Dangerfield, and then Jacob Hagan, and then the one or two guys back behind them there for sure. So, all right, what else stuck out on Saturday to you? How did that get with me talking for 20 minutes or felt like 20
minutes? It's good. It's good. Get that information out there. I know you were doing your homework on Shepherd. You probably had a lot more than I did. I think that was the bulk of what I had. You know, these days kind of run together. Special teams work. Danny Smith is his colorful self again, but he was happy, I think, with a lot of the work on special teams. You know, we get asked so much about, you know, Keelan Adams and Hilton versus Allen and guys like that, and I have to remind people is that when these battles come down to special teams, they often do, that's something you just really can't replicate in a training camp setting. There's no hitting, the intensity's low, guys aren't fending for themselves, everything's so, you know, Danny Smith is babysitting these guys, so when you talk about Adams versus Moats, it's going to come down to special teams, and we can't really answer any of those questions until starting with the Giants game next Friday.
Yeah, and hopefully Adams gets that shoulder or whatever's ailing him healthy. You know, mm-hmm. we're really looking forward to seeing him. Do you still get the feeling, or have you had the feeling that maybe there's going to be somebody maybe defensively on this team that's not currently on this 90-man roster?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, what's the history on that? If they do that pretty often, they'll bring in one or two guys, Keshad Lyons, and who else has been Cockrell?
Yeah, I mean, and look, you can go back to Antoine Blake and several years ago. And
B.W. Webb.
Yeah, I think. That sounds familiar. And I think, they traded for Justin Gilbert last year. Of course, there was Brandon Boykin came right after camp started and all. But, I mean, could it be an edge rusher? I mean,
if something happens with Adams.
I mean, could it be a number five kind of Arthur Motes kind of younger Arthur Motes kind of guy that has a nice special teams history or something? I don't know. I just get a sense that, you know, we could see that. But I mean, I'm not giving up on – don't get me wrong. We ain't even seen Keon Adams in a Steelers uniform yet. You know, we haven't seen Brian Allen and a lot of these guys in uniforms. But it just we just need to keep driving home how important that bottom end of that roster relies on special teams ability.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Roosevelt Nix played so well and made the Steelers keep two fullbacks. That tells you how much of an impact special teams can have on a roster spot and roster construction.
Do you remember what happened on the kickoff of that first preseason game last year against Detroit Lions?
I feel like I should, but I don't.
Roosevelt Nix just killed somebody.
Oh, yeah?
Go back. I mean, you know, obviously, it won't take you long to load that back up real quick. It's the opening kickoff. But go back and watch that. I was looking at something, Hawkins or something, just recently, and I was having a problem with Game Pass, and it restarted, and I got a chuckle out of that opening opening kickoff return there for the Steelers.
The only flaw in your statement, if it won't take me long, is that I don't know if you've used Game Pass lately. It might take me a while to fire that thing up. That thing's a mess.
Isn't it a mess, though? Do they even have a search function on this new one? No.
I haven't even looked at the new one the last couple of days. I mean, I don't want to talk about this too much, but
I know what you're getting
awful.
At. Well, let me ask you this. Does the old one still work? Because I can't get it to load.
I haven't tried in the last couple of days, but that's what I've been using. I was totally avoiding the new crap they came out with, so I'm hoping. I mean, because they just charged our cards again for the new year, so I hope it's not trash like it was in July.
Yeah, I mean, if they didn't improve this thing, there are going to be some irate people too, and they better have that.
You and me will be the irate people at the forefront.
Mean, because really, I mean, the old one had its problems, but it was usable, you know.
that's always helpful.
All right, impressive plays today.
Impressive plays today. Jake McGee made a really nice catch down the right seam. Haven't talked much about Jake McGee, but you know he made a combative catch against Steven Johnson. It's not a play, but another thing I do want to note. You know, Faison Odom. We see these guys day one, the sleds, and they just look awful. But a couple days in, a couple more reps, they get used to it and they're better. I think Odom's been a lot better on the sled. He's staying low, out of his stance, you know, uncoiling his hips on contact, driving his feet through, finishing the rep. Grimble's a whole lot better than he was last year, so that's good to see. Other plays today, William Gay with a nice interception down the sideline of Ben. That's the first time Ben's been picked off all year. AB, I think Tim Rice has a couple of photos. He does a great, you know, photography of that, of AB making a twisting grab in the end zone. AB liked it, actually, so I think Tim's phone is currently blowing up right now. Justin Hunter, just watching him work, and some of the, even if it's on air, just the ability to contort his body, find the football, and make the twisting, diving grabs. Ross Cockrell had some good battles today with both Hunter and AB, mostly AB today. One or two breakups, AB got him one or two times. So I think those are the highlights.
Kobe Hamilton turning the corner yet?
You know, not really. I was trying to find a nice way to say that, but you know, he's had more drops than you would expect. He struggles to separate. He's not going to be a real versatile guy. He's practice squad at best. You know, I think he's still eligible because they keep expanding the practice squad rules, but I think he's had a pretty bad camp, and I don't think he has any chance to make in the 53, especially with how good Hunter's looking.
All right, we haven't talked quarterbacks, really, you know, during the first half of this show here. So why don't you use the last few minutes here to kind of sum up the last two practices for Joshua Dobbs?
Again, more of the same. He's getting the ball out quick. He feels the rush well. He's able to throw on the run. He's a heady guy. What I've really seen from him different from the first couple practices to the most recent ones, Dave, is his ability to read the whole field and go through all of his progressions and find now his third, fourth check down options. That's stuff that I thought he struggled with, especially those first two practices where I felt like he was forcing passes, you know, could have been picked a couple times. You're now seeing him go through the entire field and things are slowing down for him. So it's been a good camp for him. Again, as I said before, a million times better than Landry Jones' rookie year. But, you know, we'll see how things happen when the Bolts are live and you're getting into a game situation. It's obviously easy for any quarterback to stand back in the pocket because they're not getting hit. You know, you can't touch them. But more of the same from Josh Dobbs. And again, not only just what he's doing post-snap, but pre-snap, getting to the line quickly. No issues, you know, mostly, you know, generally speaking, with a center-quarterback exchange. Not having to reset the huddle. I think Dobbs has good command of the offense, knows how to, you know, kill plays, with work with motions. He's in a lot of confusion with who's lining up where, who's motioning, did they screw this or that up. That's stuff we've seen problems with Bart Houston. That's stuff we had issues with Landry Jones back in his rookie year. I think very much so Dobbs is hitting the ground running, and that goes back to his football IQ and his great work ethic now that he's focused solely on football.
All right, who's wearing the L today?
Frago Brandon Brown Dukes, just because I feel like, you know, obviously he was not making the 53, but there was still a chance for a practice squad spot. That's still, I think, a wide open, you know, position right now. And if you're going to see maybe any turnover, could they add somebody, you know, outside of the organization at running back and practice squad? That's possible. But I just think Brandon Brown Dukes is at the very bottom of that pecking order right now, behind Trey Williams, behind Terrell Watson. So I just don't think he's going to last too much longer.
A lot of listeners and readers coming up and saying hi to you out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I do want to occasionally say names, but I feel like if I don't say every name, I'll slight somebody. I don't want to do that, but I had a good conversation with a buddy, Craig, today, talking to him before and after practice. So, yeah, a lot of people have come up and said hello. So thank you guys for all the kind words, support, your donation, and the GoFundMe that we have. Totally blown away by the donations we've gotten so far. I think I've thanked most people. If I haven't yet, I'm sure I will later tonight or tomorrow. But you guys are the best. And as I tell people when I write back in the thank you notes, you know, we're only as good as our Steelers Depot community is. If you guys weren't listening and reading and responding to us, we wouldn't have a website at all. We'd be talking to ourselves, and that's a dangerous thing.
I do that.
And it's a dangerous thing.
Correct.
but the support is amazing. I know, Dave, you've talked about it. I have to thank our sponsor, Touring Plans, as well. If you're planning a Disney trip, go to touringplans.com or find them at Twitter at Touring Plans. But the support's been amazing, and it's the best time of year. St. Vincent, I love it. The drive-in. I go a new way now because Latrobe's got construction, and I go over across a bridge and the whole field opens up to see the campus of St. Vincent. It's just it's a gorgeous drive. It's a gorgeous campus, and I'm having a blast, Dave.
Yeah, and you know, I know you're probably pretty worn out about right now, and this is the tough. I think this is the toughest stretch right here for you. Yeah. I think if you can hold it together, Alex, one more practice and make it to Monday, then I think you'll be pretty much home free. I think this is the toughest stretch when it comes to you for training camp. And of course, you'll be back out there at Heinz Field tomorrow night. We will not have a wrap up podcast tomorrow night because of that. We'll be back on Monday and recapping two more practices at a time there as well. So, Alex, appreciate you being the eyes and ears for us once again. And let's see here. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot and follow Alex at Alex_Cazorra. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast.